Grant me that I do not die within any residence or outside any residence, during the daytime or at night, nor on the ground or in the sky. Grant me that my death not be brought by any being other than those created by you, nor by any weapon, nor by any human being or animal. Purport. Hiranyakashipu was very much afraid of Vishnu's becoming an animal to kill him, because his brother had been killed by Vishnu when the Lord took the shape of a boar. He was therefore very careful to guard against all kinds of animals. But even without taking the shape of an animal, Vishnu could kill him by hurling his Sudarshan Chakra, which can go anywhere without the Lord's physical presence. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu was careful to guard against all kinds of weapons. He guarded against all kinds of time, space, and countries because he was afraid of being killed by someone else in another land. There were many other planets, higher and lower, and therefore he prayed for the benediction of not being killed by any resident of any of these planets. There are three original deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. Hiranyakashipu knew that Brahma would not kill him, but he also wanted not to be killed by Lord Vishnu or Lord Shiva. Consequently, he prayed for such a benediction. Thus, Hiranyakashipu thought himself securely protected from any kind of death caused by any living entity within this universe. He also carefully guarded against natural death, which might take place within his house or outside of the house. So he is a demon, and he's afraid that he'll be killed by the Lord. And this is the history. The demon always opposes the devotee, and the Lord comes to save the devotee. Paritranaya saranam vinishaya tadaskritam dharma samstapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. Just to kill the demon and to protect the devotee, I come in every age. And when I come, I reset the religious principles. Of course, as Prabhupada indicates here, although Hiranyakashipu is very concerned, Vishnu is not thinking, he's not staying up plotting how shall I overcome the demon. That is just a play for him. The whole thing is play. So actually, Krishna doesn't have to come to kill the demon. The demon can be killed by his material energy. Therefore, he comes for his pleasure to associate with his pure devotees. And this is behind this demon affair also, that it is Krishna fighting for his pleasure with an associate of the spiritual world, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyakya. They were formerly Jai and Vijay in the spiritual world. And just to partake in the Lord's pastimes of fighting in the material world, because Krishna doesn't fight like that in the spiritual world. So he comes for restating religious principles and to associate with devotees in this material world, to attract new persons to join his eternal pastimes in the material world. One time, Srila Prabhupada gave some realized descriptions of this in our, for our common understanding. Remember he said that just as when you go out to a store, say you're going to go out, you have a mission to buy one thing, you're going to buy some tomatoes. So you're out in the car, and while you're out, you're driving and you think, well, I might as well pick up some stationery while I'm out. I didn't come out for that, but I might as well make one trip of it and do these things. So he says, in this way, Krishna actually comes just to have pleasure with the devotees. But then, while he's here, he does his other activities. And it's for the, he says, while he's pleasure with the devotees, he'll fight with a demon just to keep the body fit. So, in this way, we can understand Krishna is not worried like the demon is worried. Similarly, Krishna's devotees should not be worried by the demon, because Krishna will protect them. Whoever Krishna wants to save, no one can kill. Whoever Krishna wants to kill, no one can save. He wants to kill the demon, he wants to protect the devotee. Konti apati janihi name bhakta pranishati. Tell everyone, Arjuna, my devotee will never be annihilated. So, demon and devotee, two kinds of persons, all servants of Krishna, but some are his devotees, some are demons. The comparison is made to a thorn. When a thorn goes into my skin, then it's very painful to the body. The thorn is the enemy of my body. So I have to get it out. So sometimes, in order to extract the thorn, you may use a thorn, another thorn. You use that thorn to pick out the one. So one is helping and one is hurting. In this way, both are jivas, some are hurting. Again, Krishna is not to be bothered in the spiritual world. He's simply dancing rasa dance and there's no disturbance. But this is achinta, inconceivable, that at the same time, indirectly, he's disturbed. We cannot understand it, but the example is given that when the wayward son leaves the home and the estate of the father is not troubled. He goes on with his life, his social affairs, his business affairs, and his personal life also with his remaining family members. He's not disturbed. But he's not disturbed if his son is mad in the city and suffering in so many conditions. That does not disturb the father's normal activities. But indirectly he is suffering. That my son, if he may come back, return to his sanity out of love. So somehow Krishna, he wants, because he loves us, and wants us not to suffer. He wants us to come back. So, therefore he sends his devotees to preach, because everyone in this age is more or less a demon. They're all servants of Krishna. Some are in Maya, and some are in spiritual protection. So are you a devotee or are you a demon? What is the difference? We sometimes think a demon means he has a red face and fangs and horns and a tail. No, that's not a demon. A demon is one who does not follow the direction of the Shastra. He's a demon. Regulated principles. That's the only difference. He may be dressed up nicely. And neither is a devotee, the liberated person, doesn't mean he has to be invisible or displaying six arms, many heads. But he accepts the scriptures, and he accepts the Supreme Personality of God, and he regulates his life according to the scriptures. One refuses to follow, one follows. The demon, he may be president of the United States. Therefore, people, they so often object that you devotees, you're speaking in simply a dogmatic, fanatical way, you call people demon. Abhajanati ma mudha. Namam duskritina mudha. Where does this language come? Ass, rascal, asura, asuram bhagmasrita. It comes from Krishna. Srila Prabhupada recalled that one time he went to Hawaii and there was a newspaper report that the Swami has spoken very harshly, used very harsh words for the enemies of God, calling them rascals and demons. So Srila Prabhupada said, these are not my words. He said, you tell them if they have an objection, if they're very disturbed, they want to take some action. They may take a case out against the Bhagavad Gita. They don't come to me. These are not my harsh words. I am simply repeating what Krishna says. Mudha. Anyone who does not accept Krishna, the fools, the asses, the demons, they deride me, thinking I'm an ordinary man. They do not know my transcendental nature and supreme dominion over all that be. So the demon and the devotee, they're described in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna asks, and Krishna says, don't worry, you're of the godly nature. And he defines all the nice qualities of the godly person. He's non-violent, he's religious, he worships his spiritual master. He's all good qualities. And the demon is harsh and arrogant. He's described at length there. Trying to cut down his enemies. He's unclean. He's always after sex life. He thinks that what is religious is irreligious. He doesn't know what's good for him. So there are so many questions that come up about demon and devotee. And someone says, well, if the devotees are dear to the Lord, then why are the demons having the upper hand? The answer is that this is the kingdom of Maya. This place is reserved for the demons to have the upper hand from time to time. The kingdom of Maya. If you don't like it here, then go back to Godhead. We try to reform this place. But ultimately, it's the prison house. Material energy. There's birth here. There's death here. Because there are demons here. Demon is misused as free will. So when we are in the kingdom of Maya, especially at this time, Kali Yuga, you cannot expect that everyone will be a devotee. But you can be a devotee. Kalair dosha nidhe rajan asti heka mahagunan kirtanari vikrishnasya mukta sangha parambhajat. You be a devotee, even though it's an ocean of vices, all demons. And if what is it that the demon has, the so-called upper hand? He's simply involved in so many things, money, wealth, power, which is causing his further and further entanglement. Sometimes Krishna doesn't want the devotee to become involved in these things, which are the sources of becoming a demon. He doesn't give a devotee something that he cannot handle in for his Krishna consciousness. But if one is very qualified, then he may also be given these things by the Lord for engaging in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the followers of the Lord, they're protected by Him in a special way. The demons, they usually follow demigods like Shiva or Brahma or Kali. And they get the rewards from those things very quickly. Once we asked Srila Prabhupada, that in the West there's no demigod worship. How are these people getting so rewards? He said, yes, there is demigod worship. The way they are worshiping this wealth, is it not a kind of worship? How hard they work, so industriously they work. You hear the expression in America, you worship the almighty buck, you worship. That means you can't say pious, but they're very industrious to work for this absolute value, artha, kama. They don't like someone who's not worshiping. They consider him a heretic, like us. We're religious, we're worshiping God, but they consider us like heretics because we're not worshiping the Almighty God. Why aren't you working? Why aren't you worshiping in the religious house of the office and the industry? Why are you chanting God's names, you heretics? They're considering themselves righteous and, so to speak, religious. American. Karmi. The religion is karmi. Be a big karmi. And follow the saintly Mahajans like the Rockefeller and Ford. And then if you don't follow, you're heathen heretic. And you must follow this. And then for religious purposes, you take up some religion like Christianity, which simply supports being a karmi, big karmi. Worship God and be a big karmi. And enjoy sense gratification. So a truly religious person, he doesn't do that. But in this age, the religious person is considered irreligious. So they are worshipping demigods. And they're getting good results in skyscrapers. But unfortunately, the soul is not satisfied, and so everyone is unhappy as a result of these things. When we examine closely the successful Mahajan of the material world, he's not happy. That person who's most dedicated to dissolute life, do you think he's actually happy as he goes on and on? If he just dedicates himself to sex life or intoxication, you ask such a person, and sometimes they write their confessions, their memoirs, they say, life is hellish, it's hell. Actually. Of course. But an actual saintly person, as he goes older and older, he makes no such statement. But he becomes more and more enlightened. The very thing that destroys the materialist, the old age, then he cannot enjoy sex life, and then he's puzzled, what is the meaning of life? I've lived for this, now it's taken away. Sometimes they become impotent. They're very young. Or invalid. Now, what is the meaning of life? But the saintly person, more and more, we see in Srila Prabhupada, at 70 years, 75 years, 80 years, he was becoming more and more beautiful and more absorbed in Krishna. There's no example like that. And why? Because he's happy, he's approaching death. It is not approaching death, he's approaching Krishna. So sometimes Krishna, in protecting the devotee, he may give him wealth or he may take it away. But the devotee, he is simply always serving the Lord in one way or another. He's not serving the Lord for some business return. So both the very radical or a powerful demon atheist and the pure devotee, they are both concerned with the Lord. He is there in any case. The demon is trying to deny Krishna. He's always thinking of Krishna, like Kamsa. Well, we were talking about this little tiny demon who was at the Rath Yatra, who was saying, who is this guy, God? No one has seen God. Everything he's speaking is God. Denouncing God. God. And then Kamsa is thinking, God is coming to kill me. Well, how can they say God doesn't exist? They're so afraid. They're so involved. So he's afraid of God, and it's a fact. He finally sees God as death. The atheist's contention is that there is no God, there is no supreme controller too, so don't worship him. So they may go through life like that, asserting themselves, and then when death comes,
this, as will happen to Hiranyakashipu in this narration, then he has to see God in a horrible feature for him. So everyone sees God as death, at least. Isn't death God? It's supreme. You can't argue. You can't say you don't exist. I don't believe in you. I won't submit. No. But this is the God you will see. Now you come. God is death. So he submits. He's forced to make obeisances. He sometimes gets a heart attack and falls down. But the devotee, he's worshipping, he's looking at the picture how Krishna grabs the tail of the calf and is pulled around the yard. He said, this is Krishna, he's worshipable, he's loving Krishna. That's how he relates to Krishna. And the other, he only sees Krishna when he comes as death. So in either case, the demon or the devotee, God is supreme. One tries to cheat God all his life, all these clauses, hidden clauses, trying to cheat in different ways. This is like the Darwin theory. He's got so many considerations, he's taxing his brain, how to not accept God. Well, maybe first, millions of years ago, we were just like monkeys. Well, there's no evidence. Well, yes, here's a bone. But then, how do we evolve to the higher stage? There's no evidence. Well, here's a piece of bone, or here's some speculation. And then he thinks and thinks, how can we put it all together? It's has full of gaps and illogical inconsistencies. He's thinking and thinking, somehow I've got to make some theory that God doesn't exist. And this is like Hiranyakasipu's thinking like that. And it's simply child's play for Krishna to dismantle it. But sometimes he lets the demon mislead others also. You want to believe such foolishness also? Society of cheaters and cheated. Then you believe. And then you'll all be... Follow the big cheater because you want to be cheated, and then you'll all be vanquished. And you cannot be sorry later that you did not follow the devotee. So we have to decide to become a devotee and not demon. Devotee means he follows the instructions in the scriptures. We were actually demon before we met the pure devotee. With all the bad repercussions that come from that. Headed for the hellish life, Krishna says, the demons, I throw them into wombs further and further away from me till gradually they sink down and down in the species of life. That's the fate of the demon, and they'll never be saved. They go further. You want to not believe in God? You'll see God as death, but further and further I'll throw you away. This is what you want. But you'll suffer as a result. So we were a demon, and we can become demon again. It's not a small thing. Sometimes, when our spiritual master was here, he had to see initiated devotees leave and come back and be rascal number one. He said, I see they become demon again. Demon, not to describe things just externally, but after all, the face is the index of the mind. So, the demon, he was devotee, now demon again. All the passionate activities come back. Smoking, drinking, long hairs for sex life, dressing for sex life. What can you say? But asura. And while one may play like that for a while, strut and attempt to enjoy as a demon, then he has to suffer the consequences. So we should not meditate for a minute on anything that leads us to becoming demon. And also don't think it's not possible. It is possible. The path of devotional service is like the razor's edge. You can't say, I won't cut myself. And then, demon means not following the scripture. Asura. To take the scriptures as ordinary. To take the spiritual master as ordinary. To consider the deity. Arche Vishnu Shiladir. Guru Su. Naramatir Vaishnava. If he considers these things, that the guru is ordinary man, that the deity is an idol, Arche Vishnu Shiladir Guru Su. Naramatir, he's a demon. He lives in hell. He's become hellish. These are these strong words. Not fanatical. Fanatical means no explanation, just ranting and raving. Like the Christian, he says that, oh, Hare Krishna, you're devils, you're demons. He said, wait, stop, and talk. What is this demon? He cannot talk. He's mad, fanatic. He has no philosophy. Someone has told him we are demons. He doesn't understand anything about it. He's the demon because he's eating meat, killing the cow, killing his mother, disobeying Jesus Christ. So fanatical. But we say someone is demon, which we do, or that we may become demon, is not fanatical. If we take up these activities again, the activities of the asura, mlecha, he is certainly a demon who kills the innocent cow. He is certainly a demon who goes against the shastra, express direction of Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engages in sex for the pleasure of his genitals. Such a bad age we live in, that the demon is considered fashionable. In any movie or novel or play, the heroes are always demons. Different kinds of demons. Or you see the advertisements. From a viewpoint of a devotee, the man or the woman portrayed, very fashionable, smoking a cigarette or doing something, they're more or less demons. You look at their faces. And people look up to them. Oh, this is a nice, lusty man. Demon. They're the heroes. Or the woman, of course. Prostitute. Looked up to. A chaste woman is not looked up to. A saintly man is not looked up. In any movie, say one man is against another. One man is the hero. But there's no one has any knowledge. Just like in these are also dramatic stories. There's so many stories about the different kings and things. But usually, or almost always, just like the king, the story of King Chitraketu, all palace intrigue, and the women killed the son, and he was crying. And then entered a saintly person. In came Narada and Angira, and they spoke transcendental knowledge. There's always a saintly person in the drama. But you never see any, in this Kali Yuga, you never see a saintly person come on and say, this is all nonsense. You are all unhappy because of this. Please stop this activity. Understand. There's no Narada. There's no knowledge. Everyone is a demon. So it's such a bad age. The children are simply seeing the activities of demons being praised. And on the international political scene, it is like that also. Godless men or unclean who commit all abominable actions, eat abominable things, asuras are in control. So don't have any esteem for these persons. It may be that that we cannot always speak this so starkly, plainly, in different situations. You are a demon. But we should know it ourselves. This should be understood by the devotee. A devotee should have no respect. Of course, we have to show respect sometimes. You see, you meet with the police commissioner, you're very respectful. Please give us permission for the Ratha Yatra route. We don't want to disturb the traffic. We respect all the nice businesses and everything that is going on in this nice city. And we want to perform a cultural activity. like that, we have to be respectful, but actually we don't respect the man. The devotee does not respect anyone who doesn't accept Krishna. Srila Prabhupada used to say, we have a simple test, just like with litmus paper. They have chemistry. They have a paper, they put in some liquid, immediately it comes out red, and they know, or blue. They know they can define the nature of the liquid, the composition. So our simple litmus test is, we just take a person and dip him in this question. Do you accept Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God? No. Who is this guy, God? All right, demon. But you say, wait a minute, that person is not a demon. That person you just called a demon is a university professor. No, but we gave him a test. He doesn't believe in Krishna. He's a demon. Do you mean to say that such an educated person, he's works in so many humanitarian causes, you're calling him a demon? Yes, he failed the test. So this is our simple test, and it is the test of the Shastra. Those men who praise other men, who do not engage in the glorification of God, they're compared in the Bhagavatam to pigs, camels, asses, and dogs. So this is the situation. And as preachers, we have the difficult job of trying to make a pig into a devotee, trying to make a camel into a devotee, a dog into a devotee, an ass into a devotee. So become convinced in the existence of this demoniac nature all around, convinced that you will not want any of it. Then become devotee and try to preach to these persons, because actually they're also, as we were formerly, a demon. They can become devotee by this distribution of Krishna consciousness. Krishna conscious literature, Harinam, Prasadam, and just seeing the life the age becomes mad and more mad, to seeing the sane persistence of the devotees, many more persons will become attracted and cross over this from this camp of Hiranyakashipu to the camp of Prahlad. And then we do not oppose Krishna or try to outsmart Krishna, but just simply surrender to his representatives and say, you do whatever you like with me. Please instruct me. Take me out of the bewilderment. Like Prahlad prayed, I am surrounded by demons, and I myself am falling into their ways. Please, you have rescued me. I cannot leave your service. Please engage me and let me not fall again into this horrible material world. Let me be your devotee. And let the demons also be saved. So are there any questions or comments? Yes? Well, that's not just an actual devotee. He's not distressed if he gets diseased or whatever. Mam cha yo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagaunan samadhi jayatam brahma viyaya kalpata. One who never falls down in any situation, who's fully engaged in devotional service, he quickly rises above the modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahman. So that doesn't mean he doesn't get a disease, or if he goes on Sankirtan, he may be harassed or arrested, and actually his material body will finally be finished. But not annihilated means he always keeps his Krishna consciousness. He's always victorious, and finally he goes back to Krishna. The one thing we admit, that a devotee gets sick, a devotee gets different trouble. But the point is, he doesn't become a non-devotee. just because he has some trouble. If you're asking like that, you say the devotee is always protected, but how come he also gets a disease? He's protected means he's in the spiritual energy, and whatever he experiences as suffering, that's penances. That's actually delivered by Krishna for his complete purification of going back home, back to Godhead. And even in the midst of such a trial, he meditates on Krishna. But if you say, well, you say a devotee is protected, but we see a devotee also sometimes is engaged in different illicit activities, then either that's just an accidental mistake, as Krishna says, even if a devotee sometimes has an accidental fall down, he's still my devotee. Or if it's something persistent, then he's not a devotee. Bhaktivinoda has some verse that, here is a Vaishnava wearing Kunti Mala, but his bhajan is illicit sex life. So what kind of a Vaishnava is this? So he's not a Vaishnava, although he may be masquerading. He's a devotee of Kali. So the devotee is protected from the material energy, from those sinful activities. We don't see a devotee doing those things. We may see a devotee diseased, but he's still a devotee. But we don't see a devotee eating meat, then he's non-devotee. Or we don't see a devotee engage in illicit sex, then he's not a devotee. Devotee is by his activities and his consciousness. We never see a devotee expose himself to Maya and leave the protection of Krishna. Therefore, he's always protected. Just like when Lord Jesus Christ was captured and to be crucified, you say, but he was a devotee. He said, he was acting as a devotee. He said, they don't know what they're doing, please forgive them. He was a devotee. And that was also Krishna's plan, that his devotee appeared to be vanquished, but actually he was triumphant. And the demons were bewildered. So it is a very great thing to be a devotee. One time Srila Prabhupada, someone flattered him and said, you are incarnation of God. He said, I am not incarnation of God. I am just a servant of God. And then even that he reconsidered and said, not servant, he said, I am trying to be. Or he also said that one devotee sent him a song, a poem that he wrote, and it had the line in it, your devotee is praying, your devotee is this. Prabhupada wrote back, I like your poem very much, he said, but I have changed the word in the second and third line to servant. He said, a devotee never considers himself a devotee. A Vaishnava never calls himself a Vaishnava, considers himself a servant of the Vaishnava. So what a great thing it is to be a devotee, to never be defeated by the material nature, and to always be in the protection of Krishna in every situation. We should aspire to serve such devotees, and in this way never go into the influence of the demons. A devotee is so great. Yes. He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So that Father, that name, his name is Krishna. In his preaching, he did not preach this name Krishna. He himself, his name, when recited by his followers, is very similar to Krishna. Christos in Greek. Christos is very close to Krishna in an etymological origin. In India, they call some children, they're given the name Krishna, but they call them Krista. So Christ and Krista, Christos. So we say that you may chant the name of Son of God, Christo, or you may chant Krishna. It is the same. Chant the name of God. Maha Mantra, that is coming in the Krishna consciousness movement from Lord Chaitanya. That is a special benediction. Before Lord Chaitanya, no one, not even Jesus Christ, taught the relationship of love of God as he taught it. Our scientists, Bhaktivedanta Institute, they research these things. There was one interesting thing that, about Darwin lamenting, is that he lamented that his theory was full of holes. And one of the big holes is the bird's evolution. There's practically no evidence for the entrance of the birds from the lower stages. And I forget the detail, but for some reason the peacock presented a great embarrassment and a great agony for him because of its it could not be explained. It was like a glaring contradiction to him. So he has written, and the Bhaktivedanta Institute has put this into their presentation. They have a slide, and they have this slide of Darwin and a peacock feather. And his quote that he says, "Whenever I see a peacock feather, I forget the exact word, but it says, I'm in complete agony, I'm in complete misery. Just when I see a peacock feather." And the devotee, they wake. When devotees see peacock feathers, they become ecstatic. So he was very unhappy. Because his theory was always staring him in the face in different ways to be unproven. There's so many of these of big philosopher demons, they become mad in the end or make some repentant statement. Okay, thank you very much. All the rest of the power.